when she's spoon, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic vibe moment of the
chaotic vibe moment. And you're watching Black Vibe Reality.
Black Vibe Daddy.
And those who love us.
Hello, you are watching and or listening to the Black Bi Reality Podcast, a podcast for Black Bi baddies and those who love us. I am your host, Nicole Weaver, an entertainment reporter that covers reality TV for Collider, and I am joined once again by my co-host, Quita Tinsley. Hi, Quita.
Hey there.
And I'm also joined by Keturah Tops, a Survivor 45. Hi, Keturah.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. We are back to talk about Love is Blind Season 7. We got episodes 10 and 11, but okay. First, Keturah, what have you thought about Season 7 so far?
Oh, my God. I feel like I was just telling somebody, it might have even been you, Nicole, like the last time Love is Blind came out. Every single season, it makes me want to, I reach a point where we're like where we are now, close to the end, where I am literally dropping to my knees, raising my hand, and trying to thank the universe and all the ancestors that I'm attracted to women. Like every single season, I'm deeply grateful. And I'm like, I think when Nicole, I even said it to you before, I'm like, am I tripping or all the men here just a mess?
They topped season 6, I'll say that, because we were like, season 6, it's getting pretty bad, and then season 7 said, hold my beer. Exactly. I agree. I mean, I feel like, where do we even start with this? Let's talk about these two. All right.
Ooh, I knew we're going to start with them. Tim's a Virgo man?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
You didn't see his apartment? Right, his apartment, his rules, his expectations. He's so strict.
Damn, okay. All right, I'll be quiet.
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
That is terrifying.
I know. So these two, he just asked Alexandra's daddy for her hand in marriage, all of that. Then we get Alexandra meeting Tim's parents.
Immediately, I'm looking at their body language right here, too. Like,
yep.
It's not given 2 weeks from the wedding. He's very closed off to her.
So closed off. He's closing. He has his arms across the chest. His legs are folded.
Legs crossed.
And then he's looking over her. Like, it's such a judgy
even
stance. Mm-hmm. Tim and his mama were twinsies. And she was basically prepping Alexandra that this boy is just like me. I need my space. Basically, I shut down. How are you going to deal with that? Obviously, I'm very different from my husband. Ma'am, your husband hasn't spoken at all.
The whole time. Literally the whole time.
And I think that's what Tim wants in a wife. Just sit there and be quiet.
Ooh.
I was going to say, and they're all like, coming from the same background, it seems. I mean, Alexandra can say my dad and my stepmom were married for 25 years. These two are talking about that they were like in it for the long haul as well. But this just felt so surface level and flat
and cold.
I'm starting to feel like it was a little bit of trying to save face for some of these people, because I'm just like, what was the conversations beforehand? Because I highly doubt Tim protected Alexandra from anything and just hasn't been saying everything of his side of the story in this situation. And, you know, they're saying she is seems to be like a good person and all of that. There's no doubts given. It's almost like, this is reality TV, right? Every time they tease the parents, if it's always, you see that they're so critical and everything, and then you watch the episode, they're like, oh, we're so excited to welcome you into the family. But then for this, it sounds like it's on the other foot. Like, these parents are saying all of the positive things, and then not 24 hours later, these two are broken up.
Yeah. I did like, though, okay, wasn't there a moment during this parent visit that the mom is talking to Tim, like, alone? Mm-hmm. And she's, I felt like she was, this was her first time being like, you gotta be able to mold yourself a little bit and, like, change things for your partner. Like, you're never gonna, because he kind of, I felt like, was talking to his mom kind of like, you know how it is when you don't want contact or physical touch. I'm the same way. I don't want to get, and almost looking to her for validation. And I felt like there was a glimmer of hope where she was like, yeah, but remember, if you're going into a marriage, like, you can't be doing that. You have to think about what's going to hurt my partner. Oh yeah, that's what she said. Like, what's going to hurt my partner, and think about that. And I kind of felt like that was the only indication that I got from that whole parent visit of them being like, let's steer you in the direction of, you can't just be, I am who I am, and I'm a hard rock, and, like, you like it or you don't.
Tim's not even open to it because he's already making a decision, like, right, the next day.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Yeah. He seemed like he was already set on his decision in that family visit, because if you notice, typically when you do a family visit, they do leave the other partner alone with the family. And he actually instead chose to be like, hey, do y'all want to talk alone with his own parents? Yeah. Right. So it's like, he was just trying to prep them for, like, I'm not choosing this girl. Like, that's the thing of, like, Alex is my first fiance. And it's like, something can only be the first if something follows it.
So,
you know?
Weird.
I didn't even think of that.
He already knew. I think he was over it after Mexico.
Yeah.
And he kept trying. I was just thinking that.
Felt like before they were this couple that we see now, cold and detached and angry. Because let me just be clear, Alex feels angry towards him too. Like, it all of it feels cold and like, please, Lord, don't let me be the child in the household. Like, this, they just seem to not like each other at all anymore. But before that, I feel like they were lovey-dovey and, like, you know, connected, and it felt like they were happy and free. I peeped that we weren't seeing as much of their lovey-dovey stuff as we were with Ashley, with Tyler. And so I do wonder if, like, once she put her hands on him, I mean, maybe rightfully so, like, everything changed. Because they show this moment where he was, like, you know, she was apologizing and hugging him and being kind of like, baby, I'm sorry. And you could just see in his face that he was just
gone.
Like, yeah, like, I find it hard to believe if I'm like, I'm not feeling you anymore, that it's going to be just like, you remember that nap? Like, it's going to be more like, well, I'm already dropping you from that other reason. So I wonder if, like you said, Nicole, this is all for show, and these are, like, the smaller subset of reasons why.
They're both in their third apartment. Alex is trying to eat, and this man's,
I was gonna,
like,
say, well, chicken wings were priority. She was not putting down those wings.
She wasn't.
No. And he's like, I want to talk to you, but can you come over here? Because I want to talk to you with intent. Virgo, sit down. This Virgo man is disgusting with how he talks to her. She goes over. She always obliges to him. And he acts like he's going up against the meanest Black woman ever that won't let him. He's acting like she's Hannah. Someone said Hannah and Tim should have been together. See how that worked out for them.
That would have been so.
That would have been very interesting.
I get why people were saying it, but I'm like, also, he could not handle the way Hannah be talking out her mouth.
He needs somebody who's going to oblige him. Even just little bit that Alex pushed back, it's too much.
Yeah, he feels like, exactly. He's like, Alex talks back too much.
Yeah.
Okay. It's actually crazy because he doesn't like having a conversation. He wanted to talk at her. And she was like, oh, hold up, though. I got some things to say back. And he wanted to act like none of those points made any sense. So he said that he was upset that she went to bed immediately after filming with his parents, which, honestly, we've heard this, I think, before, and it makes sense. But then she's also, like, I'm tired. And these people, to be fair, are still working their day jobs other than filming, which is another job. Now, to be fair, Tim brings up, hey, I seasoned meat. I went to the grocery store. I cooked your parents all this food. When it comes around time for my parents, you're taking a nap for an hour, not constantly answering my text. And then you went to bed right when you could.
I remember thinking when I saw him show up, like, oh, but he's doing it. Like, I would be a little annoyed at, like, okay, I got to jump through 17,000 hoops. I get it. Your dad's approval is important. Like, come on. But he was very much doing the, I'm the great little son-in-law, and here's the meat. And, oh, yeah, thank you, sir. And I remember being so impressed. Can kind of get the sentiment of, like, I'm expecting you to give 10 in return. Did she talk to the parents, though? Like, because if I'm talking to you for 4 hours and then the cameras are cut and we're done with the day, I think it's okay if I look over and I say, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, I've had a wonderful time with you. I've been at work all day. I'm going to go take a nap. Like, that, there was no indication in the conversation. I mean, did y'all hear that about whether or not she said it to them? I'm like, did she just go in the room and sleep? And they're like, texting him like, Tim, where'd she go? You know what I mean? Like, what's the context here?
Right.
And I think the difference is, I mean, while it was annoying, Alex was constantly communicating her expectation of how she wanted him to show up, and also was telling her family how to act, you know, just like, you know, it was a bit bossy, controlling, but she is communicating the expectation. And I think with Tim, we keep witnessing that he has all of these expectations living in his head. And he's like, if you don't intuitively, naturally do these things, then you're not the one for me. And I shouldn't have to tell you to wash the dishes after I've cooked. You know, it just feels like, he just wants someone who already comes from, like, the same set of expectations. And
I mean, at the end of it, it's like, okay, Tim, you got it. You got it. Like, that's her energy. She was just like, you got it, Tim. She was like, oh, are you done with me? You're done with me? Because if you're done with me, then we can really let it fly. I was like, both of these people were going to say no. They just, for some reason, were waiting for someone else to do the thing. They were going to go through the motions. And she's like, oh, okay, if you're done, then here you go. Yeah, you should communicate what your expectations are. Just like I took the reins for how you meet my parents. You could have done the same thing. Yeah.
I thought she reacted way better than I would have.
I love that she didn't have any tears for him. He was having a temper tantrum because he was upping the ante because she wouldn't cower. And I don't even think she did anything bad for him to say, and I never want to see you again. He only did that because she was so obviously not completely remorseful, because you wildin'. You wildin' just a bit.
Right, he's trying to get a reaction. He's trying to be hurtful. You could see it in his face.
So he did her a favor. She looks great right now. I can't wait to see what's going on over at this reunion, because he can say, I never want to see you again. And I actually talked to Monica on Friday. I did an interview with her for Collider, so I'll come on. But I was like, what was the vibe? What was the vibe between these two at that party? She said they kept their distance because he said he was never going to see her again, and she was not going to. You said you were never going to see me again. Stay over there. So it was staying apart.
Isn't the Slacker party the next day?
Yeah. Our next couple. Now, we don't see Steven again in these episodes, but we do see Monica at the party, and she talks a little bit to the girls about what has happened next between her and Steven. Now, she said that she talked to Steven over the phone for several hours, and that he's a good guy who effed
up. Oh, my God.
So, you know, that's where we're at with that update.
I was concerned about Monica's judgment of character as it relates to Steven from the moment he called her a mutt. And she said, yeah, I'm such a little mutt. And it was like, ah! Like, I would have been like, oh, X, next. you know, you can tell when somebody's like trying to clean up something, like, well, I do this, but, you know, typically it's just because I like to really focus on my candidate. I'm like, this is a Republican, Trump-loving, cheating man who views you as a mud and is happy to claim that he has 10% of blackness in him. So it actually wasn't that shocking to me when she was like, oh, I talked to him for 2 hours and he's such a good man. And I was like, even the way the other girls responded was kind of like they view her like, oh, all right, Monica.
Well, I was just going to say, I think about when they were in the pods and they were when they were talking about him cheating in the past and the way that she said, I've been cheated on in the past and I've forgiven all of them. Right. So to me, it wasn't shocking that she forgave Steven and had an hours long conversation with them because she had so much like grace and forgiveness for her exes who had done the same thing.
Is there even any reason for a man to feel like I need to get married in general? Like, I feel like, and I'm exempt from this, so not generally women, but like, you know, there is a more of like, I'm at that age, or, you know, I need to have children, and I don't want to do it until I'm married. I'm like, I feel like that is a more gendered thing that's pushed more on women of like, time is a ticking, and you need a husband, you know, to lead you. But whereas like men can be bachelors till they're like 50, and it's normal, it's fine, it's even celebrated.
I think it's such a fallacy. I think men want, really, really want marriage and children, but they really want to paint it as women are the ones who really want it. Because Tyler, and I literally wrote about this, I will link the article below about how I believe the theme of this season is that men are trying to trap women into marriage and kids because of how much they want these things. But Tyler has already, he claims, donated three to make three kids. He knows what those kids look like. He knows what those kids' names are. But what does he do to Ashley before he even tells her that he already has his own kids? Ashley's like, well, this is my day. Can this just be my thing? I want to take control of the wedding. He negotiates. He's like, then I get to name our first kid. She starts to hesitate because why is you as a man? If I'm cooking up a baby for 9 months, why would I
cooking it up?
Anyone else's name on it but mine. Why do you think you get that? But that's what men want.
They get it all the time.
They want
they get it all the time. Everybody's last name is your dad's last name.
And they will fight you. If you start bringing up how you want your name on there, they will fight you because that's how much it means to them. But I still think society-wise wants to be like, but women, right? Women have, you know, a biological clock. So do men. Like, the whole, and you look wild as a man, I think, at a certain age, also being single. Our society does not trust single men of a certain age.
Right.
So they also know they seem much more trustworthy when you have a wife and kids. You actually get raises in your job and your profession with that. It's so beneficial to them. And you get someone who gets to wipe your butt when you are getting old and sick. And when we go over to Marissa and she's not feeling well.
Right.
And Ramsey's still talking about, well, I need to know what marriage is going to be like.
Right.
When I am going to be sick, what is marriage going to be like? Are you just going to leave me like men tend to when women get sick?
Right.
The fact that she had to throw that statistic out, the fact that she even had to say it. And I remember in the beginning, Ramsey's and Marissa. They were the most loving and love couple. They were like the first ones to have sex.
That's when they were having sex. That's when.
Yeah, they already know. He was saying it as if it's like we're about to get married and we haven't reached this stage and I just want to make sure we're compatible physically before we walk into our lifelong thing, which would be totally valid, except y'all been banging for weeks now. Like, are you kidding me? One time? And then she was like, it's literally been like three moments that I was just not feeling well. And she's in law school!
And working.
And commuting from D.C. to Baltimore. I mean, it's not terribly far, but like, that's
They're actually in Arlington
Virginia. They're in Northern Virginia. So she's traveling from Arlington to Baltimore every day. So
even like, further.
Like, what? In
I
like,
used to
what
travel from Arlington to D.C. and it sucked.
Exactly. I'm just like, what does care look like for Marissa in this relationship? You know, I think that is what I think of. Like, she's literally telling him, I am bleeding. I am not feeling well. And what does he do? He's hounding her because she hasn't had sex with him and she hasn't been letting him pet her for a few days. You know, and it's like, why aren't you getting her tea? Why aren't you getting her snacks? Why aren't you getting her a heating pad? What are you actually doing to take care of her in this moment instead of thinking about yourself?
He's stressing her out for what?
Adding to the stress. No. Yeah. That's and honestly, I know the Tyler thing was bad. Like, I get it. Like, Tyler's was the most shocking. But to me, Ramsey's thing was the most, like, I was like, oh, I'm
Mr.
done with
I'm
for the
people.
Yes, it was, that was the craziest part, because it literally, I'm like, in the beginning when he was talking about the military things, I'm like, you know, I know that issue has come up like a lot in my life too. Like, I'm a civil rights lawyer, like complicated discussion, and I can understand the nuances, especially from someone on the public interest side being bothered by, you know, hey, my potential wife is going to be advocating for the military and raising our kids to love the military. And I held him in such high regard. And it was just like, so even our activists, even our community, no, I don't think so. But I
he works
think
for a social justice organization.
Oh, okay.
And, he was more attuned to the social justice, I would say, lens than a lot of men, or at least from what I've seen, it's especially a lot of Black men. And to have him say that, it kind of put him on this level where I have these high expectations that he would at least be someone who could care about the woman in front of him. And like, even with the I'm like, so you view her as a whole? Like, are you literally view her as a thing for me to touch and use for my dream gratification whenever I'm ready for it? Like, it shouldn't have even been that long of a conversation. This pissed me off more than anything in the entire history of all of Love and Blind ever. And it made me want to throw up all over him, especially seeing how sweet she is and how concentrated she is on pleasing him.
You keep going in and out of this relationship. We can't get a freaking through storyline. Because of their schedules and everything. So he also is like making it known that they're talking about the 3 to 5 years timeline. He wants to push it longer. And she's like, babe, I'm already in my 30s. Like, we should be getting on this. And this man, he's just so unserious. Talking about, like, well, I can't be bothered with a condom. I think they're still like, okay, are we going to have kids sooner or later? Obviously, when you have these big questions, also, I wouldn't blame her if she wasn't on her period and she didn't want to touch him. Because how come every time you're in my face, it's either you want sex, but then I can't have my baby a couple, like, years ahead? Like, what do you want from me? Get out of my face.
And literally, he's not trying to use a condom but doesn't want the baby. How do
we also see Marissa talk to Bowden later at that Great Gatsby party, and it seems fine and fun. But then also Ramses, here's my thing also, that I'm like, Ramses, why didn't you say anything about your perspectives on the military when Bowden was still in the picture? Was it because that could have swayed Marissa to having a different opinion? Like, why would you wait, knowing that this is such a big part of her, that now she has to second guess? Because now she's already chosen you. But now Bowden's back and he's talking to your woman. And now you come up and you want a kiki. You want to be like, oh my God, I'm so different from you guys. I'm so different. Like, I didn't even know I was going to be here. Well, if you talked about your differences so much, the actual real differences, because now Marissa, and I'm so proud of her for, like, how well she is kind of standing up to his BS, because she brings up how men do leave women for when they're sick, and, like, there's going to be maybe even years when you guys don't look on the same plane. But like, I don't need divorce to be the first thing. And he's like, years? Like, mm-hmm. You're not in this long term, and you're not realistic, because all you want to think about is consistent sex, which also isn't realistic in any relationship, let alone marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I literally felt like that was the first time in his entire life that he thought about that. And it was literally like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to, you know, and he, even when he was still being like, you know, I, of course, I hear you. I understand. That makes sense. It would still be like, but, you know, I still need to just figure this out. Like, it, there was never, like, a clear let go and be done with it. And holy shit, you're right, babe. Like, I can't even believe I was thinking about that. You're the prize. You're the thing I want. And, like, if you're not feeling well, obviously, this won't be a question. Like,
he thinks he's the prize for sure. He would never say that.
He definitely does.
For everybody. Because, yeah, it's like she's, like, being like, okay, you're being worried about birth control, I'm out of here. Yeah. Or, like, you know, I'm like, the military thing, I'm more in alignment with Ramsey's. But also, if she loved the military, this man is not for her. You know, and it keeps feeling like no matter what he does or says, she keeps trying to convince herself that this is going to work. The shit he's saying. But I do understand he's starting to recognize they aren't that compatible. The more they talk about very serious things, they aren't compatible. And she's like, I don't want to get divorced. And I'm like, so you shouldn't marry him. She's also in the military.
I know. She's very primed of sticking things
through.
Guys,
wait. Okay, so what does this military mean? Okay, I've never been in the military. Now I'm getting nervous. Like, those people in the military just obey blindly? Like, what does this mean?
Well, you have to obey. That's literally the structure of the regime.
That's why I think Tim did so well with Alexandra's, like, orders. Is like, that now I have something to follow, and I know what's successful and what's not. Mm-hmm. There's, like, a regimen. There's rules to this. Like, she was also not just in the military, but also in the Mormon church, which also has a long list of rules in itself. Mm-hmm. She is very primed for, I will stick through and I can endure in communities where that is very beneficial for them. They need people who can endure and stuff. Yeah. So it's not shocking that she says this, but it's like, when you find the right person, it doesn't feel like you're enduring anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this man's already showing signs of he's willing to dip.
Now it's like, yeah, that plus the military plus, you know, watching her family dynamic and her actively being like, I want to resist against it, is just, my heart is going out to her so much right now because as someone who was raised in such extreme and strict religions, and you just follow and you just obey, you just keep working and you just keep enduring, like, it takes a lot of everybody for you to even slightly get out of that mentality. You can't lightly get out of it. You can't say, okay, I'm not going to do this. This doesn't serve. You have to be like, anything, anybody says that it's not in my best interest, I'm out of it. And like, be so hard on that mentality. And I see her not really being that character and almost taking that sweeter, softer, bubblier way. And oh my God, my heart just, that sucks. It's putting way more context to it than I ever thought. And I don't think this is something that could be solved with Ramsey's. I'm almost thinking that if she doesn't correct that mentality on her own, Ramsey's will just be another Ramsey's.
Yeah, okay, so the last scene we have of them is very cryptic. It seems like she met his family and friends and it did not go well because they're talking about, he's questioning things now, where before he kept saying, I'm 100%, I'm 100%. I mean, I can't wear condoms, 100%. But, you know, I need to have sex every day. 100% though, babe. I'm here 100%. And all of a sudden, he came across some other people, outside people, and their opinions. And now he's really questioning. He's like, we're really different, which you guys are. But of course, Marissa's like, but we can do this. They're just other people. And I wonder how much it's his mama, because we have heard about this mama. She's very religious. Even though he's not, he's willing to also give her different, like, religious things so she can hopefully be happy with this wedding, a wedding mm-hmm. he's barely putting any effort into planning, which Marissa's like, what did we say in the pods? Like, mm-hmm. you said you were this man yeah. who was anti-patriarchy and you want to be mm-hmm. an equal partner. Well, like, why yeah. can't you answer things about what our music is going to be and this and that? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I don't view it as important. And she's like, well, if you don't view it as important, then what does it mean for me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I bet he's telling, if it is his mom, but whoever this friend, family, outside perspective is, I bet he's telling them from his view that, you know, I just can't connect with her physically, and there are moments that she just goes away and she's not accessible to me. And if you're telling somebody who very much views women in a specific role mm-hmm. as wife, I'm sure the advice would be, well, is that the kind of person you even want?
It's yeah. His gender analysis doesn't go past his aesthetic. It's very obvious and clear. He does not care about breaking down patriarchy or treating women with equity or viewing them as whole people, because every opportunity he has had to prove that, he doesn't, you know? Yeah, he's worse because he is wearing the pearl hair ring, you know?
Exactly! Like, you didn't even have to make me believe you were different. You could have just came in right, like, I am who I am, I'm a regular man, and we would have been fine with that, because that's really right. common.
But we got to move on to Hannah and Nick, these two Aquarians.
Both Aquarians.
They are. Okay. They are. Now, they're doing their whole engagement photos. For once, they're actually able to joke with each other. So that's nice. But then it doesn't last very long because now we're doing this rope date and we're talking every time they have a sit down like this. It feels like a parent teacher conference mm-hmm. or a parent student conference mm-hmm. or a teacher student. I don't know what the dynamic is.
It's giving very Hannah's about to give him a whole monologue about himself.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Do they talk when the cameras aren't up? Because it feels like they're just going about their day, and then maybe when the cameras are back, she's like, so we're going to do a performance review of everything that happened the past few days. And he's like, wait, what?
What?
I thought we were having a date.
Every time.
He keeps claiming he's grown. Actually, this whole like narrative was actually a little bit triggering for me for my last big breakup, because the last big breakup, I really was like, so what did you learn from this?
Oh,
and I said, because I'm telling you, I like felt a little bit of sympathy for Hannah, because it's like, when you take on, like, oh, I'm the person in this relationship who knows more about this thing, but I'm dedicated to making this work, you're putting in all of those efforts, and then the efforts don't look good. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel attractive. You feel like you're a B word. Mm-hmm. And then you finally are like, I think we're all miserable here now that we've done this. But please tell me at least you took something from all the times I told you about X, Y, and Z. Like, please just tell me I didn't waste all my time mm-hmm. doing that. Yep. Queen was like, you did.
You did, because nobody asked you for that. Nobody wanted that. Right. So it's like, girl, just leave that boy. It's like, if she found out he lived in his mom's basement and was like, I can't do this, bet. When he was... said he gonna help with the pasta, and he opened the fridge, and she was like, I can't do this. But like, he said he's a realtor and he sold a house and he don't pay but two bills, and she was like, I can't do this. But it's like, girl, stop giving him these speeches that he's just like not in taking.
He's single-handedly trying to raise him. That's right. That's the problem. It's like, Hannah, you've had 18,000 occasions to show you that this man isn't just regular man ignorant. This man is man child ignorant. Like, he literally is like, my dad feeds the cat. Like,
he couldn't even say that the cat was his responsibility.
like every inch of responsibility this man could touch, his parents were like, absolutely not. We got it, baby.
I think Hannah's trying to make clear in these interrogations is that she's like, you said in the pods you cooked, which he did. He specifically was like, I can make a salmon salad and I can make a chicken salad. I will quote him on that. Then we find out he can't even boil water. So what is the truth? And then when Hannah looks at his place, she said, oh, Nick, you're going around telling people about your pool table. What he conveniently leaves out is that the pool table is in storage and no one can play on it. I think she's trying to subliminally tell the audience this man is a liar.
Yeah.
But all the women and she knew that. She's trying to like let us know. She's trying to shine a light. Like, he fake. I'm like, girl. Thank you. However, all the other women in the pods already called it, and you broke up with him because you low-key called it. So, like, you can call it again and just leave. Like, you don't keep having to expose him.
True. Like, she did break up with him. I forgot about that.
Girl, you don't keep having to try to prove to us how unserious he is, because we know that.
Like, I also feel like on Hannah's side, it kind of feels like how Tim has parents who've been harsh or cold and whatever that has tunneled down to him. Every time Hannah is lecturing Nick, I'm like, she's imitating somebody. She is very, giving very much that I want to be in this position of power and teaching and control and lecturing. Like, she's had 1,000 times to say, I don't want to do this. I'm out. I'm trying to get a husband who's on my equal level. But she almost, like, it almost feeds her to have this sort of superiority over Nick. And that's where I think people give Nick a little grace, because it's like, all right, Hannah, like, you're berating this guy and like beating up on him verbally when, you know, not that it's any justification, but honestly, I view Nick as just kind of like a little bit of an idiot. Like, I'm like, he's just a coddled kid who really hasn't had any reason to be measured up for anything. And a woman in Hannah's position should be able to see that and be like, nah, I'm good. And how hard she is, I wonder if somebody else would like that to her.
I'm sure. And she's also deeply insecure around body stuff and being on camera. If I see her in one more big-ass coat, I'm going to, like, chunk my TV across my apartment. Yeah. Like, I'm like, why are you cooking pasta in a leather coat? Like, why are you doing your engagement photo shoot in this big-ass tweed coat? Like, and now that they're out of the car, you know, now we see her in real time, she's also lost more weight, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel you know, I think Hannah is a great person it seems like her parents cut her off and she built her life for herself. And now she's very successful at 26. But clearly she's still insecure around certain things. And I think it did feel good for her to be able to like talk down on Nick for how not adult he is. But
at the end of this, it's like, okay, so he has this conversation with Katie. A lot of people are giving like kudos to Katie for how she talked to Nick. They're like comparing Katie's approach to Hannah's approach, but Katie's like, oh, you're such a good guy, Nick, but I think you really lean on your charisma and charm to get to people, but it's like masking really an insecurity. Like, you were so attractive when you talked about your family, and you should keep doing that. Now, I love it that Hannah basically later gives the same note in her exit interview with him, because she fired that man.
She did.
Not exit interview.
But in the exit interview, she was like, you know, I wrote down basically ego versus confidence. Like, what you're doing a lot is ego rather than true confidence. And I'm like, we can say that this is a mean Aquarian, but would she be saying some things? I'm like, that's actually deep and really true. Because how many times, I also hated that Katie did give him this time of day, because he did feel big and bad in this scene with Hannah. All of a sudden, he wants to drop Bet. What are you going to do? Nothing. I was like, oh, so you had one woman treat you like you were something.
He did. What do you know? He had someone who was not his mom affirm him. And how did he come? Because also, Hannah would do them type of tirades with him because she knew all he could do was just like sit at her, stare at her, and say something like, sports are more important than stocks. You know, because he wasn't confident.
It doesn't feel like a fair fight. That's, you know, I feel like it's clear that Nick is not at a certain level, but it's like, okay, Hannah, like, you are clearly way above him in these levels, so it's just not going to be fair. I actually didn't like the way Katie was talking to him because I was like,
no,
it's just her talking. It's like how you talk to your kid sibling or your young, the youngest child. Like, but you're being diplomatic. He needs it, and she's right. He needs it, but it's like, I'm watching in real time this man get raised, and it's like, okay, the gentle parenting approach works with him better than the direct, hey, you're a 28-year-old, get your shit together approach. Okay, great. Like, either way, Nick does not. Like, I need to loosen a little bit of what I've been taking care of him for, because if I'm his mom watching this, I'm like, holy crap, kid is ineffective at life. Basic.
The beekeeper. It, like, they break down basically what the whole movie is going to be like in terms of bees, and they say when the queen bee has an ineffective spawn, they have to murder it. And so then you later see the character that's the ineffective son, and it's a human being, and I'm like, I'm done.
Aww, oh, thanks.
Oh my gosh. But here's the thing, also, we can go back to talking about Hannah and how she was raised, and that also coming into play, because this is what I said in the last episode. Why is Hannah's family taking such a back seat in her being in a high-risk situation like Love is Blind? Like, why do they have no feedback or questioning? She's begging these men, please care about the person who I might marry and, like, grill them and make sure that they are right for me. And the parents... the brother, actually, she's very mean to me as well. And I'm like, you should be the one people to love her unconditionally, and you're giving her guff. And now we finally get people who support her. It's her friends. They're finally back Hannah up of like, what do you mean taking out the trash and like walking the dog is hard for you? Like, why are you saying that these things are changing who you are when they're actually just tasks to do?
Like,
what is wrong with you?
Her mom feels checked out completely. I mean, there's like this famous little meme of Hannah being like, Nick doesn't support my things, Nick doesn't do this, Nick doesn't do, like, all the big obvious flags, and her mom's like, well, you know, you can work it out,
no one's perfect.
Exactly. It's almost like she can't even hear what Hannah is saying. She can't receive it. And I'm like, you don't care about this girl on a close, personal, intimate level. And we see that when people don't have that, they go to their friends. So I was really glad that Hannah has something that feels to me what would be called chosen family here through her friends.
Yeah. And her mom is like, I mean, it was nice to see you happy. And I'm like,
was she happy?
Was she? Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm like, when did you see she was happy? And she's literally sitting on the couch naming every reason why Nick isn't the right person for her. And this is what you're saying, you know? But you want her to be married so bad, it doesn't matter who the person is or who the man is, right?
She wanted was her mom to be like, you're too good for this. Get out of here. Yeah,
right.
And her mama couldn't even do that. But we got to go over to a different parent.
Of air signs.
Wow, we got 3 Aquarius? Wow. Yeah.
We have some Aquarius here. Tyler and Ashley. So, we come back to these two, and after Tyler finally has come clean about being supposedly a donor to these lesbians, look at how this gay storyline just pops up on this show. And, all of a sudden, she's just like, you know what? We'll just take it day by day. Tyler was holding back a smile. We never even heard Tyler say I'm sorry to her in this whole scene, or since this came out up to this point.
But didn't he?
I feel like he did apologize at some point.
I've apologized a lot, and I'll apologize again, or something like that.
No. And yes, and that's the thing. He wants to make it clear. Why didn't you apologize to her on television? Is my thing. He made it so sure it wasn't on television. Coming clean wasn't on television. But then he makes sure to note that later of like, you know, I've already apologized to you so many times before. It's like, do it again. Why does that have to be mentioned? Like, I don't care. I want to see it. I hate this. He gets off too easy.
He lying. He like big lying.
So did we ever like talk about why he didn't talk about these kids before? Like, is there a reason? Has he been saying anything? Like, what's the reason?
He didn't give a reason.
And I don't know what they talked about off camera, because we don't know what they talked about off camera, but Ashley was not asking enough questions for me.
No.
Like, the way that Taylor was going off on Garrett, I needed that energy from Ashley.
Yeah.
And honestly, when she told the women at the table, I needed some of them to start being like, so...
No, Marissa was mad. You could see Marissa was very concerned and mad, but everyone else was starting to play it down.
Casual. Yeah.
I feel like Marissa was so concerned.
Because that is concerning that a man would have. Okay, even the scenario he's telling her is still concerning because he has 3 children that he's contributed to their being alive. He's known about this entire time, and he waited until they got engaged, went to Mexico, and came back home, and have been home for how many days now? You know, they're just even closer to the wedding. Now he's like, oh my God, I have 3 kids. They're not my kids.
And they're talked kids. About kids the whole time. Yes. Talked about kids.
I
want to
have 7
time.
Kids. I want to have 7 like, kids. Right. I already got 3.
Subject came up multiple times. Saw a little, thing on Reddit that was like, he is in the kids' life now, like he does know them, like he's holding the baby and wearing a shirt that says daddy, and I'm just like,
there's video and photographic evidence of him these children knowing who he is.
Yeah,
like there's a video of one of the children being like, that's my dad.
And no, wait, the kid is saying that's my dad.
They're being asked by another adult.
Yeah.
Like, who is this? They're pointing the camera at Tyler, and the child says, that's my dad.
Oh, burn them all. Throw them all away. When she asked, do they know you? He said, like, I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay. To talk about this, it's very edited. I will give the people, I will give Tyler and Ashley the credit because at first I was like, when she asked, do the kids know who you are? He says, I don't think so. Well, we don't actually see her ask that. It's the back of her head, and we're just on Tyler's face. And then he says, I don't think so. So we don't know what she was actually asking in that scene. And so it's just like, we have no clue what stance the editors are trying to take on them. And I think, honestly, it's so much more unclear because it's so obvious that they're going to get married. And that's wild. Because the editors, I think, want to be on the side of the couples who get married usually. But then this happened, and she's so obviously sticking with him. So it's like, how many details are we going to give? I don't know.
I understood Ashley's point of like, you messed up. You dropped this terrible thing on me. I can't trust you. Like, I respected her reaction. But then being like, all things considered, you know what I mean? I do love you. I am about to marry you. And you're telling me you're not even a father to these kids. You just helped out a lesbian couple.
And like, yeah. Okay, we can get past that a little more than we can get like, I got a baby mama and she sees me every day. And like, you know, these are my kids. Mm-hmm. So she's presumably going forward with the marriage, not knowing this. Like, do we think she's learning this
but
now?
Still, if you drop this late, you have to drop them, right? Even if it's like, well, it's technically a donor. Well, I'm going to have to wait and make sure of that because you waited till the last minute. And obviously then that means something's up.
Yeah, because a part of me, it does feel like, I'm like, as a fellow Aquarian, it's like, sometimes when you don't want to know something, you're not going to ask questions. Because it's like, I feel like she's made up her mind. This is a beautiful man. He's a God-fearing man. He prays with me. He loves on me. He's sweet to me. My parents love him. I'm going to marry him. Mm-hmm. So she's like, I'm not asking no more questions because I actually don't want to know anything that's going to like shatter my understanding of who he is. I'm like, girl.
The list that she gave when she was at this party, Ashley said, Tyler fights for me. He makes me coffee every day. I am just so shocked. Ma'am, a man making you coffee every day should not, like, your standards are so low. If you're like, I am so shocked that he would spring babies on me. He makes me coffee every day. If anything, be a little suspicious when a man is too on his P's and Q's.
Exactly.
Fortunately, I think she just really, really, really wants to get married like Amber or AD last week or last season.
And that's so crazy because Ashley's so freaking stunning.
And I'm
tired. Body, but faith and intelligence and personality. And
not lost on me that Marissa, that Ashley, that Monica, that Alex were all willing to take so much from these men who were giving them so little.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor ripped Garrett's head off about shutting down his ex-girlfriend. And these men popping up with babies, cheating at sweet. You know, I'm just like, girl, you deserve a love that isn't this hard.
Also remember that black women get painted so much as being the angry black women. Hannah has been dragging Nick day one.
By the neck. Just when he thinks he can breathe, she snatches him up again.
And these three black women have been so freaking down in the trenches. It's ridiculous that you guys are still trying to go with the angry black woman stereotype because it's not happening this season.
Because they know they can't blow up. We all know it. I mean, I've said it myself while being filmed on reality TV. I know I'm not allowed to get angry right now, even if I have every valid reason to get angry, because you'll only focus on my reaction instead of what happened. Oh, my God. I didn't even think about it like that. When you just said Quita, when you just said Ashley, Marissa, Alex, all and Monica, and I'm like, wait, that's true. And they're all getting really crappy ends of the stick and just being like, okay.
Let's get back to this Taurus Pisces. So they go on a date. They actually did calligraphy for one of these dates. Is that the calligraphy one? I feel like I had you in here somewhere. No, really, that's gorgeous. Good. That was so freaking gorgeous. But so they have the calligraphy date. She also still has letters from her grandparents writing to each other, which is so cute. And then the Gatsby night happened. Once again, we're dropped in on some drama. They're out on this street dressed up like a freaking flapper. And, you know, Taylor is just like, you right here are no longer a free man. I don't know who you thought you are, but if any woman is on your phone, you shut it down. Shut it down. And Garrett's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She says, shut it down. He's like, I didn't do anything. You know, maybe I just like it's fine. And she's like, no liking. No, that's even worse. They can't know you are still alive. You are dead to them.
I was like, is this somebody who was in the pods? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't even know he was talking to somebody else. And then it's like, oh, we're coming in on her finding out about an ex reaching out to him.
Garrett was scared for his life. He was so scared.
He should be.
Yeah.
What the hell? Do I have to coach you to not talk to your ex-girlfriend less than 2 weeks from our marriage? Where is the hope? Because I really liked Garrett. I actually felt like Garrett was I was like, okay, we might be going the distance here. But the whole, I didn't know. I didn't think I needed to. And then I didn't respond. And now I did respond. And he's so clearly relaxed in the, I'm with my boys and we can talk about all the BS that we do comfortably and freely and blah, 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 let me spill it all out. Oh, wait, my fiance is right beside me.
But I think a part of it was her reaction to him. He probably, it seemed like it didn't mean that much to him, especially based on what he said to her. And he probably was casually telling Taylor as they were getting ready to go into this party and was not anticipating her reaction. And her reacting to him, I think, threw him off. And he was very like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want you to think, like, you know, this man, it seems like he loves the hell out of Taylor. You know, so I'm like, it felt like in the moment he was just like trying to figure out what would help calm her down, especially given the situation. And then when he got around his boys, he was calm and he could actually tell the full story. He's like, oh yeah, and then I shut her down. And then Taylor's like, first of all, you didn't say that to me, you said you liked it, what? And I was like, girl, slow down, like, breathe, take the time that you need so you can hear what he's saying and maybe get the phone to see what the message is.
I was gonna say all of this.
She's like, I have the phone right now.
Right. Just show me.
I was like, there's a lot going around.
Not right now.
He literally is locked in between people inside the booth. He's like,
oh, I don't know what to do.
He said, please not on screen. He said, please don't do it. He remembered that they just saw Monica and Steven the other night. He said, please, let's de-escalate this. He was like, I'm not ready to Venmo anyone anything right now.
Right.
I would like to think that we did hear everything that Ashley and Taylor had to say in the bathroom, but then I'm like, I'm so aware that they could put in anything, because I think they try to put in Taylor saying, well, we're not going to see my family tomorrow. And I'm like, I don't think she said that, but okay.
I mean, here we go again. Suck it up and push it through and pray that he's better. I mean, I think in this case, he actually is and will and be. But I already knew that her instinct was going to be, let me put on a bold face so you can still meet my family.
I think we get several, like, vlogs from Taylor. She's talking to the camera about the fallout. And she was like, you know, we talked about it. Mm-hmm. And he knows I'm not 100% right now, but we're going to work on it. And he's open to that. Mm-hmm. And, like, then later on, we didn't have to film, I guess, with Taylor's family in San Francisco, her, like, dad's side and everything, but she shows, like, a little video on the phone and stuff, and I'm like, these producers are like, you are our strongest couple, so I'm gonna need you, when it's not a filming day, to turn on that phone for
you gotta film
5 second video and tell us something positive, because we're running thin on positive content.
It's getting bleak out here. Everywhere, you know? So I understand a family being like, we're trying to rock with you here, but, like, we're not doing this on camera. Because they didn't sign up for the show.
We saw Taylor in a beautiful gown. Probably not going to be the final gown, because they always make them film, like, the final choice, I think, in a different gown before the actual wedding, so you're still surprised.
I feel like they were, like, intentionally doing a few more swaps this season than I've seen before. Like,
you know, so it's like they got to fill up the time. Because if you know, be weddings were in, like, 2 episodes. This season's weddings are only in 1 episode.
Yeah.
And it's just numbers.
And whoever goes first will eat up all of the time before the one
yes.
They did last year.
You're right.
No, I'm angry because I saw a little black ballerina girl, and the fact that there's going to be a little cute black ballerina girl in freaking
Tyler and Ashley's wedding.
I'm pissed.
That's so unfortunate. God, that's gorgeous. Look at that beautiful view, though.
I will say, though, for the end of their argument culminated in the nerdiest semantics conversation.
Not semantics.
Because he's going like...
Not the vinegar and the mustard seed.
He's like, you're mad at me because I didn't tell you the details. And she's like, you didn't tell me facts. And he's like, facts, details, what does it matter?
Right, he's like, the facts of this are the details.
And like, she's just so pissed. And then he finally figured out, I just have to tell her she's right and apologize. He's like, you're right. I didn't tell you the facts. But I'm like, this is what happens when two nerdy people are trying to be right and argue. It's like, what are you guys even talking about right now?
I mean, I know they made up and it's all cute and we're cute and laughing, but I still want to see the text. Like, so what was the
next?
Like,
let's get to the facts.
Whatever was said. Like, I still don't know what was said.
I don't know either. To show us at the reunion, probably.
I feel like Taylor would definitely ask for the text. So hopefully he did show it afterwards. Yeah. And hopefully it's nothing. And that's what we go into with for the next episode.
Let's hope. Woo.
So all we're thinking Taylor and Garrett for sure getting married. Ashley and Tyler for sure getting married. What do y'all think about Marissa and Ramsey's?
No.
Yeah, I think he's going to say no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that will probably be our first wedding. It'll take forever. Because, they also left us at a part where we don't even really know what happened. So maybe we'll get some of that. I don't know. I kind of wish we did have more than one episode, though, for the weddings, just because. What's everyone's chaotic bi moment of these episodes? It can be really anything. It could be chaotic. It could be a little queer, a little flirty. It could be playing the middleman in something. It could be anything. My chaotic bisexual moment, I mean, I'll still go with these two. But when Marissa and Bowden were talking, I feel like he wanted to act like he was, like, too above being jealous or something. And then he just wanted to go in there and just be like, I'm just so different from you guys. And I'm just like, what are you doing right now? Like, he wanted to act like he was the hot girl in the triangle situation.
It's giving very much like the polycules meeting up and I'm trying to show my metamore that they don't rattle me, that we can all coexist.
I like that.
I think my chaotic bi moment is Hannah, Nick, and Katie, and how when Katie walked in, Hannah's like, oh, do you want to meet Nick? And I was like, girl, what? Why are you trying to have your fiance meet his ex who's your best friend? Also, how is she your best friend? Like,
her best friend in the entire world? No, is very interesting because I think they're like slyly are showing that Hannah's not the closest with the other women, but then again she's also younger than them and is different. I don't know, that's what it was giving, because I think that was like also the ownership over Katie, right? It's like we're not connected because we all got engaged. I have a genuine friendship and connection with Katie.
You want to meet Nick?
But she's always testing him, right? So maybe this was like another test of like, sure, go ahead and do what you want, but why would you do that for 40 minutes? And then now we can't get Nick to be too off the hook, because all she is really asking for as a partner is, hey, what did you guys talk about? This man turns around and was like, well, Katie's your best friend, why don't you ask her? I'm engaged to you. What right, are you talking about?
You know, he was over there trying to flirt with Katie, trying to keep it open. Mm-hmm.
Well, she's the first person to ever give him any little sweetness or kindness.
Exactly. Exactly. And then she shut it down when she let him know, no, sweetie, you're cute and all, but no. And then he was like, oh, yeah, I love Hannah, and I'm so glad I'm engaged to her.
He was trying to act like he could give Katie advice, because when she was like, he was like, why didn't you pick me? And she was like, well, you know, I'm 35. I felt a little weird about it. He's like, but if that's your type, you know, that's your type. I'm
I hated
type.
That moment. And like, then it was she's very like, much giving, let me manipulate you a little bit.
Yes.
The funniest way that I know.
Yes, he thought he had the sauce. That's why everyone's like, do you have confidence? Is this fake ego? Like, what is it? Like, Hannah has his number. She has it. And yeah, and she was like, no, I should not be into you. You are a mess. But I'm going to tell you kindly.
I don't know if this is a chaotic bi moment, but it was very chaotic for me, and I very much enjoyed Alex making it very clear that she did not want to sit by Tim when she got her chicken. And she would much rather sit all the way on the other side of the room at that island and eat her chicken away from it, and was very unbothered, like, what'd you say? Like, and was not coming. And even when she brought the chicken over.
The chicken, too, is in the argument.
She would be here, eat my chicken, and be unbothered. And I really liked that we kept that energy.
Period.
For sure. For sure. Do we have a beautiful black moment of this episode?
Oh, I got one.
Okay.
I don't know if it's just a moment in particular, but I don't know. I'm still stuck on what you were saying, Cleta, about all these black women and taking so much and like, the beauty in them still trying, the beauty in them still wanting love, still putting themselves out there, saying, like, I recognize that the system is not perfectly set up for me, and, like, I'm probably going to have to deal with some BS along the way, but, like, let me put myself out there. And, like, not for nothing, you know, we can point out some issues with all of them, but they all did seem genuinely committed to the process. I think there's beauty in that.
That's beautiful. I think my beautiful black moment, I don't know, just Ashley. I think Ashley is so beautiful.
Yes.
And like her flappers outfit with her red lipstick, like she's just so I just need her to know that she is the baddest, and like we don't need to get swindled by this light-skinned man with his beautiful eyes. Like, I'm just like, girl, you are a baddie and you will find the right one for you, and this ain't it.
Well, I mean, I think my beautiful black moment will specifically go to Ashley, and like so she goes skydiving. She basically is talking about what skydiving means to her. Well, this is such a reality TV trope. Someone goes skydiving, but what's the big metaphor we can take from this? But Ashley says something very realistic, because she's talking about, like, risk. And she's like, you know, this is a risk I wanted to do, but then there's, like, marriage. And he's like, marriage and kids are risk. And she was like, actually, marriage and kids are less risky for you. For me as a woman, like, all you have to do is just offer that, and then I have 9 months to go through this. And did you realize, like, the freaking, like, he wanted to push back on that, and that's why I'm like, this is what I'm saying. Men want marriage and kids. They're actually very important to them. And it comes up, but they don't also want it to seem like it's only women who care about these things. But it's like he also felt the need to, like, defend of, like, actually, I'm not a donor. They brought up the donor thing again of, like, so where really is your mindset? Because even you just being a donor is being questioned, and that you actually do more than that. But then on the other hand, over here, this woman's talking about how realistically it is more of a risk for women to have children and to get married, and like you're still acting like there isn't an imbalance. You want to pretend like it's 50-50 on what it takes for a child to come into this world. And it's like, are you Delulu? Are you jealous of women? Like, I am so angry that there's any such thing as PMV, because I think PMV is really men and how they try to control us to have the things that they want.
Mm-hmm. Is there PMV?
I think there's a certain kind of PMV, and it's not the one that's in the textbooks. That's what I'm saying. Because why, Tyler, do you need so many babies? Why do you need all of the babies?
Seven. That would be 10.
Then I hope you get to funding somebody on them to figure out how a trans womb can have it, so you can do that your damn self if you want to be independent, mother.
I literally can't comprehend it.
The reunion has to clear something up. I feel like Tyler and Ashley are not saying anything because they got married and because all this mess has happened, and then they're going to have to figure out what their story is on that stage. Mm-hmm. But I really hope the producers did their thing and also got that baby mama and the grandmother also in the crowd.
Yes.
I hope baby too.
Brought on stage.
And I...
But, you know... We'll be back. We'll be back to talk about it.
When it ends with just all of us collectively sighing.
Deep Negro sigh.
In our spirit.
Katura, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Haute Couture, as it is on the screen, HAUTEKATUR, and then Couture Tops everywhere else. And I don't know. I mean, y'all kind of got me feeling like, as a Black woman in reality TV, I need to, like, make more stance out loud because this is actually crazy. Like, it's... Nicole, I have like 1,000 things in my head now of just like, how often do we get pushed into these corners and into these expectations, and our stories aren't fully told, and then these men get to walk away scot-free? And I'm feeling real, real riled up from this, by the way. But yeah, on every other platform, I'm Couture Tops, so easy to find me.
I'm glad that... It got you thinking. I think that's what we try to do here. Is we're talking about really stupid reality TV, but also these are real people that reflects real things in our lives. Quita, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at @hello_Quita. And also want to make a shameless plug. I'm co-chair of the Advisory Council of Third Way Fund, which is an intermediary fund that funds gender liberation movements. And so if you care about that, since you're here at the Black Bi Reality podcast, so I'm assuming you care about like Black queer people, so fund their movements. And we're having an event on October 30th. And if you follow me on IG, I'll be posting about it. So definitely check it out and join us for our virtual party this year.
Yes. And that is at @hello_Quita on Instagram. I am your host, Nicole Weaver. I am currently writing about reality TV over at Collider. That includes Love is Blind. So those links will be down below for my guest and my own. And please follow Black Bi Reality across all socials. We finished Big Brother 26. I have interviews with the finalists on this channel. We are recapping Survivor 47, Katura, and Sabaya. We're on for those, so we're going to continue that. And then we're going to be back for Love is Blind. We might have some more reality TV guests, so please subscribe and stay tuned. Bye, and stay visible today.
Bye.
Bye.